yes, and your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes a difference. Hello and welcome. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee, coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics such as personal responsibility, accountability, accountability partners, creative vision, belief systems, the power of belief, being the observer, the power of thought, the power of partnership, the power of words, entrepreneurship, visionary leadership, creativity, innovation, consciousness, awareness, service, finances, relationships, goal setting, and goal attainment, to name a few. We have fun together and we learn together and we encourage one another. On our show, we share concepts, principles, processes, and systems that work if you work them, that deliver good and great results. The show's mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, mental health, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing electrifying, powerful, and transforming content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change their life for the better or to change their life for the best. On today's show, we're going to talk about the book Self-Transformation by Dwight Lee. And I'm going to share with you principles and attributes in different excerpts from the book today. I'm going to start off by talking about the 13 principles daily to live by. Number one, don't take nothing personally. Number two, be skeptical. Question everything, but be open to hearing with your inner ear. Number three, love yourself unconditionally. Number four, always be authentic with yourself. Number five, keep your promises to yourself first. Number six, be a career student. Study to show yourself approved. Number seven, always be in integrity. Number eight, choose or re-choose a vocation you enjoy and love, something that comes natural for you or feels natural to you. Number nine, be impeccable and stupendous at what you choose to do. Number 10, have at least two accountability partners. Number 11, get a quality mentor or coach, someone with proof in a specific area of your life that you desire to model. Number 12, outline your personal core values in chronological order and commit them to memory. Number 13, have a physical copy of your vision and review it multiple times daily. Now I would like to share with you 13 attributes from the Eagle that coincide with the 13 principles discussed in the book Self-Transformation. Attribute number one, the Eagle's vision is impeccable. It can see a silver quarter from the opposite end zone to the other end zone. That is not sight. Of course, that is vision. Self-reliance. Attribute number two from the Eagle. The Eagle is guaranteed to bring the baby eagles and family the spoils. Number three, self-belief. And the third attribute from the Eagle. The eagle, although it weighs about 9 pounds, its wingspan, strength, and speed is uncanny. It believes and knows it can do anything required for survival and success and can live up to 70 years. Number four, self-expression. And the fourth attribute from the eagle. The eagle is not aware of judgment from other species and the ego does not judge itself either. It has no hang-ups or entanglements. It is always authentic and true to itself, expressing its true self and does not try to fit in. Number 5, self-knowledge, and the fifth attribute of the ego. The ego trains the baby eagle judiciously, so that when it's time for the young eagle to venture out, it is well prepared. Number 6, self-image, and the sixth attribute of the eagle. The eagle knows instinctively it is the king of the air and its sovereign. Number 7, self-help, and the seventh attribute of the eagle. The adult eagle always protects the young and the family. It has eyes on the young and, believe me, is always on high alert and within striking distance to protect. Number 8, self-determination, and the eighth attribute from the eagle. The eagle swoops up on its prey abruptly, devouring the prey instantly. Number 9, self-discipline, and the ninth attribute of the eagle. The eagle stays in peak condition, exercising and relentlessly flying through the air, able to elevate to higher and higher altitudes with the greatest of ease. Number 10, self-esteem, and the 10th attribute of the eagle. The eagle knows it is the cream of the crop and that it's in a class all by itself. Number 11, self-preservation, and the 11th attribute of the eagle. The eagle is never alarmed, shaken, or rattled. It knows it's in its element, the air, and soars through the air so gracefully. Number 12, the number of government. Self-improvement, and the 12th attribute of the eagle. The eagle has laser beam focus. It has high concentration and acceleration. It accomplishes its mission every single time, and with each repetition, becomes more and more accurate. Number 13, the angelic number. Self-control, and the 13th attribute of the eagle. The eagle's demeanor is constantly, consistently the same. It rarely shows any emotion. It is always poised, alert, steadfast, and serene. Chapter 1, Self-Awareness. Self-awareness is about becoming the observer of your own self. What are you paying attention to? What are you presently now aware of? What are you now consciously aware of? Where your focus goes, your energy flows. Where your energy flows, your life grows. Awareness is being present now and paying attention to your real vision and your true mission. Chapter 2, Self-Reliance, is about standing on your own two, taking ownership of your space. Own it. Depend on your own individual believing, and depend on your own individual thinking. Depend on your own individual expecting, and depend on your own individual corresponding acting. Trust your process and live with your results and outcomes. Chapter 3, Self-Belief. Self-belief is about believing in yourself with the greatest certainty, acting as though you have access to unlimited confidence, unlimited potentialities, and unlimited possibilities. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else can, period, point blank. Chapter 4, Self-Expression. Self-expression is about esteeming yourself highly, understanding that you are royalty and that you are capable of participating in the highest function which any man or woman is capable of thinking. And through this creative process called thought, you can create any good thing just as you have any negative thing. Chapter 5, self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is about equipping yourself with exact knowledge of self, in-depth knowledge of self, and specialized knowledge of the limitless you. You are not your body. You are not the name people call you. You are limitless. There is nothing you cannot be, do, or have. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. There is no limit. Chapter 6, self-image. Self-image is about three different images. The image others hold of you, the image you hold of you, reflected back to you, and the image of the real you. Now, which self-image you choose to hold is important, because you will never be able to outperform your chosen self-image. So what would be greatly beneficial for you is to step into the image of your real self that is perfect by coming into agreement with, coming into alignment with, being congruent with the image of your higher self, and be and do all that you are meant to. Chapter 7, self-help. Self-help is about helping yourself, not being enabled, but nah, choosing to be empowered, pressing toward your expected end, your desire fulfilled, so that you reach what Henry David Thoreau was speaking about, success unexpected in common hours. Chapter 8, self-determination. Self-determination is about life being a grindstone, either grinding you down or polishing you up, all depending on what you're made of. It's about grinding in a fun way for your particular result or outcome you proclaim, you desire. But do you have the stick-to-itiveness to persevere moving forward when everybody and everything appears to be going against you? Do you have the guts to release your confidence and go for the gusto, despite your haters and naysayers? Chapter 9, self-discipline. Self-discipline is about, do you have the success habits to do what you ought to be doing and a specific certain time you ought to be doing them, regardless of whether someone is holding you accountable or not? Do you have the success habits that will ultimately lead to your path and process called your individual success? Chapter 10, self-esteem. Self-esteem is about esteeming yourself highly, understanding that you are royalty and that you are capable of participating in the highest function which a man or woman is capable of, thinking. And through this creative process called thought, you can create any good thing just as you have any negative thing. Chapter 11, self-preservation. Self-preservation is about exhibiting the best version of yourself, not a diluted version that's powerless, playing a victim role. It's about operating at an apex level, maximizing every moment, being all you can be, contributing positively to your community, being, doing, having all that you desire, and teaching and admonishing and encouraging others to do the exact same thing. Chapter 12, self-improvement. Self-improvement is about location, location, location. Where are you located, and where do you desire to go? Why do you desire to go to that space, that state, that dimension? What price are you willing to pay? And are you willing to do the spiritual work, meditation, prayer, visualization, affirmation? What are you willing to exchange for that specific result, that particular outcome? What measurable action steps are you willing to take consistently, daily, to land at that specific destination? Are you willing to develop your action muscle? Are you willing to develop your action muscle? Are you willing to develop your action muscle? Chapter 13, self-control. Self-control is about believing that you are in control, telling yourself you are in control, then being in control, telling yourself what to think, telling yourself what to believe, telling yourself how to feel, then telling yourself how to act accordingly, and living your truth, not someone else's, and living your truth and not someone else's, and living your truth and not someone else's. I want to give you a couple quotes from the good book, As a Man Thinks, So He Is. So I want to add to that. As a man continues to think, so he remains. Buddha said, all that we are is the sum total of our thoughts. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. Dr. Ken McFarland said, 2% of people think, 3% of people think that they think, and 95% of people would rather die than think. And the great James Allen said, we think in secret, and it comes to pass. Environment is but our looking glass. It was the wee hours of the morning. I believe it was Saturday night, crossing over into early Sunday morning. My oldest uncle and his friend Wayne had been out partying all night. They came in pretty drunk. Wayne was wasted and looking around. I guess he would have been surprised that I was still awake and up watching TV. He came up close to me, smoking the end of a cigarette, and sat down next to me, saying laughingly, you should be asleep. Then all of a sudden, he grabbed my right leg and burnt me on the front foot area where the leg and foot connect, leaving a significant scar that is with me today. I yelled in pain and disbelief. It was a different type of intense pain that I hadn't experienced before, as I was only 3 years old. But I still remember the pain to this day. What I remember the most was the feeling of not being protected and not being loved. It is etched forever in my central nervous system and memory. How can a person do this to a little child that can't fend for themselves? It was precisely at that point, I believe, I became self-aware and introduced to the power of thinking and believing. I remember an activity going on in my head, silently asking why. Suddenly, something occurred to me, and I said, smiling to myself, within myself, with force I could definitely feel. Silently, I said, from this point forward, I take control of my life, right here, right now. From that point on, I basically operated like an adult. I always been observant, more of a listener than a talker. My trust definitely had to be earned. Many that live in my area would attest to the accuracy of this. I assume I learned this instinctively because of what had transpired. The command went outside, inside myself. Be alert, be aware. This minimized the opportunity for wolves to prey and feast on me as an innocent little child. No more. The story goes, we are all asleep. We are not conscious. We are all moving around on autopilot. We are not practicing mindfulness. We are not being present. We are not being the observer. We are not aware. This is why statistics indicate for an estimated 96 to 98% of people are asleep, not conscious and not aware. Statistics also indicate that most of us are only utilizing 2% to 5% of our brain power and maxed out for a select few at 10%. They say the average person has about 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day. They say that we are conscious of about only 5% of those thoughts, so that a person is conscious of about 3,000 thoughts. If we use the lower number, let me ask you a question. What goal,
what objective or what target are you giving those 3,000 thoughts you're supposed to be aware of? Then I have an even better and deeper question. What are you doing with the other 57,000 thoughts that could easily employ to bring you more joy, more health, more fulfillment, more satisfaction, more travel opportunities, more income, your own business, or whatever? Self-awareness is learning about yourself and all the systems you have within your own individual earth experience. You have several amazing systems that, if you educated yourself about them, could help simplify your life and get them working for you, not against you. An example is your central nervous system. It is one of the most sophisticated systems ever built. This system is so amazing. Every pain you ever experience has an impression on it. Everything is stored in it. I find this fascinating. The second example is your chakra system. The seven chakras in your body starts one above your head and ends with the ones below each foot. It is time to move into awareness. Stop accepting what anyone tells you. Study and prove it to yourself. Whether or not it is true awareness is the art. Whether or not you notice it doesn't matter. It is still true in operating with or without your awareness. Each individual has awareness, even if they are not aware. They hear and see everything. The being is observing all of this. It is up to each individual to do whatever they choose with the processing of the information they are receiving. They can use it to their advantage and be conscious of it, or they can ignore it like they don't understand. Your amazing system is always processing everything and giving you feedback that, if it was properly accepted and acted upon, could change your life for the better. Awareness is about what are you focusing on, what are you filtering in or out, and what are you processing. Do you see all the struggle around you, or do you see the natural ebbs and flows of abundance in nature through the grass, the trees, the birds chirping away? Whatever we focus on expands. Whatever you direct your awareness to, that is what it becomes aware of and concentrates on, bringing more of that thing into your life. Simply because that is what you are aware of. It is what is present for you. What you have created in your spectrum of influence, and only you can change it by deliberately changing your perception, belief, thought, expectation, and the way you see reality. Another system you need to educate yourself on is the brain. The mind. This process has worked numerous times. I desire to bypass the amygdala, a roughly almond-shaped mass of gray matter inside each cerebral hemisphere involved with the experiencing of emotion. And I require you to focus in on the cerebral cortex, the neocortex, and the reticular activating system. Now I require everyone to just think of two things that you are thankful for. When you do this, oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, and anandamide will be released, and this is where you obtain heart and brain coherence. Both your heart and brain become open and receptive. Now visualize an image, something you have always desired. Plant the image of that thing that you desire by bypassing your conscious mind and planting it right into your subconscious mind, which is extra fertile ground. All you have to do is nurture it from there multiple times throughout the day until the thing shows up. Don't worry about how long it takes. If you persist in doing this, trust the process. At some point, it has to show up, and it will show up so long as you do not cave in and quit. Chapter 2, Self-Reliance. The summer that I turned 4 years old, I began to participate in entrepreneur endeavors. The one I enjoyed the most was following my uncles to the 36th Street car wash. I was very short, not really big enough to wash or dry the cars, and I didn't care for vacuuming. It frustrated me. I was fascinated with one thing and one thing only, washing the white walls with the SOS pad on the tires. Some of the tires would have a small white wall, some cars would have a medium-sized white wall, and some would have a big, thick white wall. My goal with the SOS pad was to get the white wall as white as it could possibly be. I became really good at it and very fast. I charged a quarter a white wall, basically earning a dollar per car. I used to sneak out the back door. I would show up there at 6:30 a.m. Sometimes it would still be dark. I did not care. Once I figured out that I could earn money to play video games, I was all in. By noon, I had plenty of money and would head off to play video games. I would amazingly have between $10 to $20 on average, which is a lot of money for a kid. On Saturdays and Sundays, it was major. Amazingly, I would often earn $25 to $40 by noon. A few times, I even made $60 with tips. I had other entrepreneur endeavors. A couple of friends and I began to participate in collecting Coca-Cola bottles. We used to walk all the way from 36th and Lottie all the way over to Northeast 30th and Lincoln to the Coca-Cola factory. They would give us 5 cents a bottle. When I look back now at how young we were, attempting to earn money honestly just to play video games, it brings a proud smile to my face. It didn't stop there. Another entrepreneur endeavor I did during the summer, I was 4 and 5 years old, was I passed out business flyers for a well-off barbecue shop owner. I passed out the flyers in Forest Park and Wildwood because at the time, these were very affluent areas. During the week, he took care of me handsomely. As a matter of fact, I remember him giving me my first $50 bill. I called it a U.S. grant. I mean, a little four-year-old with a $50 bill. It doesn't get any better than that. I'm only trying to play video games. I mean, I'm impressed with $1 or $5. This gentleman gave me a $50 bill. I was diligent, consistent, and loyal, and this gentleman actually referred me to an insurance man. His first name was Matt, and he utilized my services also. I can definitely tell you that summer I played all the video games I ever wanted. I even purchased my first pair of low-top Chuck Taylors with my own money. My entrepreneur endeavors allowed me to make plenty of money and play Asteroid, which was my favorite game. That is all I wanted, to play video games at the arcade. Relying on yourself is the optimal attribute. Each of us has so much energy, power, and resources flowing through us that if we were able to clearly see this with the naked eye, we would be awestruck. To see the flow of this real and up close would be simply too amazing. We're supposed to rely on our higher self, which is more than capable of accomplishing anything. Nothing is beyond the scope of being accomplished, and I do mean nothing. Challenge allows an individual to build muscle and endurance through each life challenge. The experience summons the powers of persistence and fortitude, which helps each person become a strong finisher, meaning when you start something, make sure it gets finished. When you depend on yourself and perform consistently, it draws respect, good fortune for meeting like-minded people to partner with, resources and favor with people who are in a position of influence with the means and the power. Let's look at some of the intangibles of a self-reliant person with the characteristics of a person that is self-reliant. Plans their day and prioritizes the 4 to 7 things they expect to do or accomplish the next business day. Values their time and does not waste it, hoping or wishing that something is going to happen. They go out and make things happen. They honor their word and they keep their promises to themselves and others. The focused person is consciously aware and observes their day, and they can assess strengths and weaknesses. They can speak to what went well and where the opportunities are for what could have been done more efficiently and effectively. The person is cautious about what they view in their eye gate, what they allow in their ear gate, screening their inner gate and internal conversations. The organized person is goal and result oriented. They keep a goal in front of them, generally aligned to their values. Achievement and accomplishments are on the list because they are not excuse driven, telling you stories why they should not do this or that, and explaining all the reasons why something cannot be done. People with structure have a different mindset. They're simply flat-out go-getters. They make things happen with certainty. Self-reliant people maximize the moment. They maximize relationships and business relationships. They maximize their resources. They see abundance even when circumstances and conditions are not ideal. Self-reliant people are effective communicators. They know how to network, and they hold themselves highly accountable. They delegate, follow up, and follow through. They inspect what they expect. They walk the walk, and they talk the talk. They express and live their truth despite outside naysaying. They are not worried about or concerned with someone else's opinions and feelings. They make concise, informed decisions based on pertinent data and rarely ever change their mind once a decision is made. They display high self-confidence, great business acumen, and business savvy. Self-reliant people have uncanny work ethic, and although they understand working smart, they are fully vested in working hard, too, because they know what you put in is exactly what you get out. So they pour every fiber of their being into what they are working on, and they pour all their energy into what they are working on with great focus and total concentration. Self-reliant people have very high levels of discipline. They simply do not participate in any activities that are not leading them towards their goals and greater success. Self-reliant people radiate and exude strength. They have an aura about themselves. Sometimes when you look closely around their head area, close to the ears and down from the shoulders to the arms area, they have a light glow about them. A self-reliant person usually works their one gig with everything they've got, and they're not easily distracted. They are not bothered with being a jack of all trades. They focus only on one thing at a time, and they most often learn this behavior from a mentor or business partner. Self-reliant people are self-starters with incredible energy and are creative with a desire to celebrate wins and victories. They visualize how their win will look over and over when they run it into many obstacles and challenges on their journey. Chapter 3, Self-Belief. Self-belief is believing in yourself no matter what the odds are. They can be stacked against you with no victory, no win in sight. You have to keep the image of winning in your mind. You have to be thinking victory. You have to be believing in victory. You have to believe that when it is all said and done, you have to know you're going to win. You can't consider the odds and current appearances. You can't worry about anything else. You have to put all your attention, focus, concentration, and energy on winning. You have to see with your inner eye. It is not sight. It is called inner vision. Operate consistently every single day. The only person that can defeat you is you. There was a particular statistics class back in college that I didn't like, so I decided to start skipping it. I just didn't like it. It was boring and kind of difficult because of the teaching style. This guy was very different, and I can remember from what I was told. I skipped two or three classes, getting other kids to pass in my homework. He obviously didn't like that, or me for whatever reason. One day, Dr. Marvale was taking roll call, and he stopped on my name. He said, "Do any of y'all know Dwight Lee?" Then proceeded to say, "Next time you see him, tell him I don't see him graduating." The kids in the class passed on the message. In those days, I required testing to show up and compete to perform well. After learning of the pending failure, I didn't miss any more classes and ended up finishing strong with a 96% average overall grade-wise. I tied for third highest average in the class. I believe in myself so strongly that no matter what it looks like, I simply believe I'm going to win and celebrate the expected victories. Self-belief is the foundational rock essential to everything. It is a critical component to your mere existence. All things are either derived or have a connection to this key component. It is through your belief and thought that you navigate through this three-dimensional world. Hopefully, you see quickly the vital role that belief plays in every part of your life, that nothing can be accomplished without belief. What you believe about yourself shapes the way you think about yourself, and how you believe and think about yourself forms your self-image, and your self-image determines what you will be, what you can do, and how successful you will become. What is belief? Belief is a fixed pattern in your unconscious mind that is downloaded ancestrally, as well as shaped through your environment, plus developed through the repetition of your habitual thought patterns. We begin by asking ourselves the questions like, what am I believing right now about my life or living arrangement or vocation? It is through this information that we'll be able to evaluate, establish, and isolate what it is we have been believing at this point. We can then determine or choose whether we want to continue to believe this certain belief in a certain area, or do we want to believe a different belief in a given area. This is where we begin to see what is that we believe about ourselves and start to adjust what we believe about ourselves and course correct to impact our lives positively. To make the changes necessary to help each of us lead better and more improved lives. Self-belief determines how we dress, how we feel, the way we carry ourselves, what we drive, what type of work we do, where we live, and how much money we earn. You will see the picture become clear on how important your belief in yourself is. It is the key component in every moment, shaping all aspects of your life. What I'm driving home is, to move forward, you're going to have to dig deep. Figure out what you believe and determine the origin of the belief. Generally, beliefs come from parents, grandparents, or your ancestral lineage. It is going through this self-evaluation process that you can identify what it was. Is it what you believe? Distinguish the old beliefs that no longer serve you. Does the belief belong to you, or does the belief belong to a family member, a friend, a teacher, a friend of the family, a stranger in passing? Establishing this foundation will aid and assist you in gaining more control of your life, where you take ownership and begin to heal your life in the direction you require. Improving your beliefs will bring great rewards, confidence, and healthier self-esteem. You start attracting like-minded people, resources, and opportunities. You will be able to clearly connect the dots on your progress by what you experience. When you intentionally change a belief, things begin to shift and change expeditiously with speed and efficiency. Beliefs and habits drive 96 to 98% of our thinking, perception, and behavior. Understand this. As you believe, so will you go. Belief is important because belief determines what you think. What you think will determine your behavior, and your behavior will determine how you choose to act, and how you act will determine your outcomes and results. If you don't act, you will still receive results. Belief is a pattern you have established by repetition and intensity. It can be altered depending on how deeply the belief or condition is interwoven in the subjective mind. With consistent, persistent application, the belief can be obliterated and replaced with a more favorable belief. This is why we shouldn't just accept or allow things like beliefs, thoughts, expectations, habits to lay hold on us without being challenged aggressively. This is a critical component of success. We must be consciously aware of what we allow to dwell in our personal land. Some people do not even know what they believe. They can blurt out a response, but my question becomes, do you really believe that response? This is an excellent exercise to find out what you believe. You will see the outcome of what you believe. It shows up in your life. Be cautious of what you choose to believe in any given area. If you say you believe something and you really believe it, you will take a corresponding action, good, bad, or indifferent. Either way, it manifests. Chapter 4, Self-Expression. From 5 to 27 years of age, there wasn't anything that I was more united with or connected to than the game of basketball. I loved the game dearly. I played it. I coached it. I taught it. And the game taught me back. The love for the game taught me and paid me back through life skills on the basketball court and in life. I could express myself openly. There was no other place I could express myself freely and openly. In the classroom, I expressed myself, but it was silently. In basketball, I was much more verbal than in any other place. My energy was expressed. My talent was expressed. My work ethic and skill set was visible. My concentration and focus was intensely expressed. I was dominant and created a lot of fun times with my body, mind, and spirit for myself, my teammates, and coaches. My enthusiasm was infectious and felt by everyone around. That was my self-expression at its apex. I see everything through the lens of basketball. It's about getting five people to move as one unit in harmony, congruence, and flow. It's about being in a foxhole and everybody sacrificing, giving their best possible effort. That's why when I stepped between those lines on the basketball court, I approached it seriously. I both loved and respected the art of the game. I was highly focused and trusted the hard work I put in for years would pay off. I embraced the process and enjoyed the pursuit to the fullest. Self-expression is about what do you enjoy doing. Self-expression is about a form of release or outlet. Whatever that thing is for you, it is important, because unless you get some form of enjoyment regularly, you will not be able to attract success and all the accoutrements that come with success. The way you feel determines how you dress and how you carry yourself, and to a large degree sets the course for your day. It is important to be happy, have good energy, and operate from the frequency of your higher self, your higher consciousness and awareness, to attract what you truly desire. You see, when you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and you get off to a negative start, have you ever noticed things just seem to get worse and worse? You get on the highway, there's a stalled vehicle. You get off to take the side roads to outwit everybody. You seem to catch every red light. Then guess what? You end up being 20 minutes late to work. You instantly get called into the office and get a nice talking to. Now, what was the cause of the series of events? Who is responsible and accountable for these events that transpired? When you have a day like this, it's the opposite of what I first described. Listen closely. I'll bring it up again. You require an outlet. Let me guess. For you to have a day like this, pent-up energy that you didn't express had a role to play in this downward spiral. You went to bed irritated, frustrated, angry, or there was something that required your attention, required a resolution, and all that energy was turning inside you while you were asleep, causing you to get little to no rest at all. Then you arise, you put yourself under pressure, and that pent-up energy is causing things to work in reverse, or should I say operate backwards. When this happens, you have to first operate out of your power center, your spirit, your higher self. Next thing you must do is calm yourself down and then quiet your mind with an affirmation or focus on a certain point on the wall. Meditate or pray, whatever works for you. You need not even get dressed until you gain control and restore order. It is better to arrive to work late, safe, and intact, and do your job at a high level versus arrive there all over the place mentally and being threatened regardless because you are late. Personal safety comes first, even though you require your job. Your life is far more important. Now, if you were to backtrack all of this, you will be able to go sequence by sequence to see how it all works. You choose your outlet and way to release the energy. For example, a hobby, a walk, or a jog. It does not have to cost. It could be reading a book from the library, taking a walk in nature. It can be drawing, listening to music, like one of your favorite songs. It could be dancing. It can be getting a manicure, a facial. The only prerequisite is that it is fun, and you do it for yourself with no constraints. Have an outlet of self-expression, even if it is a small amount of time for yourself. 15 to 30 minutes is ideal and will work wonders in your life. Consistently allow yourself time and room for self-expression. Does not matter what you do as long as you do something. Remember, you do have to express yourself somehow because the energy has to be expressed. Simply do something you enjoy at least twice a week. Chapter 5, Self-Knowledge. Until you are really tested, you will not seek knowledge in and of itself. Until you are pushed out of your comfort zone, you will not go after your knowledge of yourself. Until your boundaries are pressed, you will not consider learning about yourself. Until there is pressure applied and you are pushed inwardly, you will not totally dedicate yourself to acquire information about who you are, what you can do, what your purpose is, what your mission is. We often have to go through pain or some major crisis or trauma before we will rise up and contend or overcome the assigned adversity that is attracted or sent to force us to move forward. As it is with me, I've been through many difficult challenges and took on big-time events, succeeding at some, failing at others. I used to host a big-time basketball tournament annually during Memorial Day and Labor Day weekends that included big-name players from basketball and football. If I was to call out some of the names, you would probably have heard of them or knew them. Now, preparing for these events required a lot of preparation, including advertisements on major TV stations via commercials. I had to plan to execute the commercial shoot, advertising schedules on multiple radio stations, promoting the event, securing the venue, book hotels for the teams, get insurance, and get insurance waivers signed by all teams. I mean, running the entire operation. I didn't have any proof that I could do it or that success was guaranteed. I stepped out with desire, a decision, and belief in myself, and began to take action. One thing led to the other, and I simply kept going step by step despite the naysayers, and there were a lot of them wishing everything would fail. I saw and heard them, and in fact, they gave me inspiration and motivation because I truly enjoy proving people wrong and making them eat their own words. I'm already highly competitive, and I always desire to win. I do not require any extra motivation. I'm always planning to devour any competition. Once you make up your mind and make a firm decision, commit to doing the work and begin to do the work daily, the only person that can defeat you is your own self. And if you do not stop yourself or get in the way of yourself, the win is almost guaranteed. The tournaments were a success 4 years consecutively. You shouldn't fear failure. Everything may not work out the first time, the second time, or the third time, but it is only feedback. You require adjustments along the way. The plan may not have been solid enough, or you may not have had the right people in the right place. Make the necessary adjustments and keep moving forward. If you do not do this, you'll make a habit of running from project to project, never completing anything. Success is not possible that way. What I've done is learn from what has gone right as well as from what has gone wrong. I saw continuous improvement. There is always something that can be improved, as there is no such thing as perfection or arriving at perfection. Learn what you could do differently and execute it the next time around. I believe in finishing what I start. That is a key component of success. It is about planning every action step, and when things don't go according to plan, you go back through the action steps again until the plan works out. Do you know? Do you understand the difference between information, knowledge, and wisdom? There's an implicit part of our brain that stores data. This happens when we listen to a radio program, podcast, or webinar, or we go to a group training. This is only information. It is in your head and essentially does you no good. Even though you may be able to talk about it and explain it enough to share it with others, this information doesn't serve you unless you are able to draw the necessary experiences to you where you can apply the information in any given situation, converting it to knowledge. Then you continue to get opportunities where you're applying the knowledge continuously and constantly producing great results and teaching it to others, where they follow the process and produce similar results, the same exact results, or even better results. Then the knowledge has been transformed and converted into wisdom. People begin to get in on it. Results are the name of the game. Great outcomes. This is what separates success from failure. There is an overload of information you can access on almost anything. Let me ask you a question. Why aren't there way more success stories? The reason is information alone is pointless and unfruitful. It must be applied to knowledge and wisdom in order to bring transformation, favorable results, and greater outcomes. When we begin to understand this and appropriate it on a consistent basis, anyone will easily begin to produce the results they desire. To their own self, be true. You build yourself up with things that resonate with you. Through resonance, you find out, what does this mean for me? What am I required to do with this specific insight? This is how you get on the journey of self-discovery and begin to change your trajectory. Start your self-transformation by living life by design instead of happenstance or the way life blows. Ask questions. Do not just share information and not ask questions. You must be able to discern and draw out what certain things mean for you individually, so you can profit from the information by applying it to your life to help change your life for the best. I always know it's good to hear about something working for someone else. But if you're anything like me, you should immediately ask the question, can it work precisely for me? It is pointless if it just works for one person or a couple of people. If it is authentic as a solid principle and it really works, it will work for anyone. And knowledge and wisdom works for whoever works the principle. It does not matter what age someone is. The older person may possibly know more, but the principle will work with each person in the same way. Turning the exact same information into applied knowledge, making it wisdom, they will each receive one of the three results, the same exact result, a similar result, or an even better result. Chapter 6, Self-Image. My mother, when I was little, used to always dress me up. I was rebellious. I wanted to dress like the other kids, you know, jeans, T-shirt, and tennis shoes. I don't know whether she knew it or not, but she was trying to build my self-image, improve the way I saw myself and the way others would perceive who I am. Whether she was doing it consciously or unconsciously, I don't know. This is what she was essentially doing. She was setting the tone, and you know what? It worked. Because being in the business world for over 23 years, 92% of the time I've worn shirt and tie every day. How does this connect, or why is it important? What is the relevance of this? It is important because how you feel determines how you dress. How you dress impacts who and what you resonate with personally. Who and what you attract into your life. To a large degree, how I have dressed and carried myself has attracted the opportunities and people that I've been fortunate enough to receive into my life, along with the special people that I've met along the way and connected with. I say, dress for what you desire to land. Don't dress for where you are currently. You do not have to stay in the same place unless you choose to. Learn who you are. Understand what you can be and do. This will aid and assist you in bridging the gap between who you've been told you are, who you think you are, and who you really are. There's an outer self-image, and there's an inner self-image. Which is more important? The inner self-image is without a doubt the most important. You can also say it this way. The way others see you and the way you see yourself, you will never be able to outperform the image you hold of yourself. It is this one thing that is controlling everything. You can liken it to the steering wheel in a car, the rudder on the ship, the bit in the horse's mouth. The tongue determines your concept of yourself because words create images and we think in pictures. Self-image regulates your confidence level and your certainty level, how you dress, how you conduct and carry yourself, your level of self-esteem, how much confidence you have access to, and essentially your level of self-belief. It determines your level of faith in yourself and whether or not you will express your faith in yourself or not. Self-image determines the type of job you pursue and have, how much money you earn. Self-image can also be compared to the accelerator and the brakes in the car. When you have not yet become the observer to locate your self-image and begin to build a more improved and expanded version of your self-image, this slows you down or bring you to a standstill where nothing is working in your favor. The opposite is also true. If you locate and understand self-image and frame yourself in the proper context, it will accelerate your life, obliterating any obstacle, almost similar to a superpower. You understand the difference? People around you understand the difference in your energy and how this applies to how others perceive you and treat you. Other people don't quite know what the difference is, but they know that there is something clearly different about you. They just can't put their finger on it. It is your inner self-image projecting energy out into the world. People can feel it, but can't always articulate it. It is a critical component of success. From the category of health to time to career opportunities, relationships, finances, when this secret weapon is not recognized, it is the reason why individuals miss the mark in each of these five categories of life. Self-image is closely tied into individual paradigms of conditioning. If we were to identify as individuals one particular habit and ask them, why are they doing that? They will tell you, I don't know. If you were to continue to converse with them and say, you are more intelligent than that, you are better than that, why would you do a thing like that? As an adult, the response will be still the same. I do not know. Here is why the individual is not aware of the hidden self-image. They have been conditioned not to see or perceive that habit and behavior that's causing them to do that. Until this is brought up close right in front of them, up to their face, they will not be able to correct the behavior. Without these two issues being resolved, the inner self-image and the paradigm being altered, it is virtually impossible for the individual to begin to move forward to improve their life. The individual must become enlightened about the inner hidden self-image and begin to learn about conditioning from the ancestral lineage. The parents, grandparents, their environment, and their habitual thought patterns before they will be able to course correct and begin to see and feel progress in any of the five key areas of their life. The inner self-image will be the catalyst for a turnaround. When the self-image is adjusted, that is when you will begin to experience positive change in your life. The self-image correction will help upgrade your mental conditioning. You will understand your body and what times are peak for you. People with a good self-image have certain words, certain times where their proposed energy level is incredible, and they capitalize on that. The theme is the same. You have to be hungry to eat. You have to surround yourself with people that are always achieving and hungry for more. Never stop reaching for the next goal. And understand there is no final destination, no final arrival. Pursue and own your personal inner journey of development. Each person must have a desire in them to push them forward. We do not have to do anything, but we must understand that if we choose not to do things, that there are consequences. We cannot afford to rest because there is always a lesson, test, or blessing that wants to come in our direction. Your job is to be prepared for it, always sharpening your skills and becoming stronger so that you are prepared for whatever comes. Have the understanding, the thinking ability to persist and pursue your own journey. You will be anchored by your self-determination. No matter what comes your way, you can handle it. Your self-determination will ensure you never defeat yourself. Your self-image will be your guide to what you can be self-determined to pursue. Chapter 7, Self-Help. We sometimes ask for advice when we already internally know the answer. I asked the opinion of three people I trusted who I thought would give me sound advice for this particular situation, and astonishingly, neither one of them would give me any input. I never figured out the reason, but assumed it is because I already had the answer and I knew what had to be done. There are situations, conditions, and circumstances that can and often come up in life that will arise where you will be forced to make a firm decision for yourself. You will have to encourage yourself, and you will have to will yourself to accomplish a certain objective. Like I mentioned before, I asked for opinions on what to do, and no one, for whatever reason, wanted to give me an insight. Neither of them even budged or would give me their honest assessment, and I felt very strongly the inner right decision was to move back to campus. Although I wanted no parts of this move, I had to swallow my pride and move back to the college campus to get focused and do what I was required to do, to finish up my degree and graduate. When you're an upperclassman, you don't really want to be back on campus. At least I knew for sure I didn't. At the same time, I knew this would be the best and only strategic move that would put me back in the game and in a proper position in terms of focus to drive and propel me with great momentum to push me through to the graduation finish line. It was actually a very clever and unorthodox move. It was a much-needed decision and move that worked out perfectly. Sometimes in life, you will be required to do what is not popular or cool, what you do not desire, to get you to the required destination you truly desire. I went through this multiple times in life where I have failed, lost my confidence, lost myself. I forgot who I am, but it is an integral part of life for everyone. We forget and we remember. We forget and we will remember. We forget who we are, and then we remember who we are. This happens to everyone at least once, but I say it occurs more than that. Basically, it deals with you living from the outside to the inside instead of the way it is supposed to be or intended to be, living from the inside out. This deals with your daily habitual thinking. What are you thinking inside yourself? What are you believing about yourself? What are you believing in for yourself? What are you expecting for yourself in each area of life? What are you believing about your personal and business relationships? What are you believing about your career? What are you believing about your health? What are you believing about your mental state? What are you believing about your finances? What are you believing about your time freedom? Self-help is understanding that when you are in a blind spot or in what you consider to be a bad spot, what are you going to do to dig yourself out? Others can encourage you and serve as a guide, but the truth be told, only you personally can do the necessary work, the required work to bring yourself out into a better position, a position of control. You personally have to do the mental work and the physical work constantly and consistently until you begin to rebound and bounce back. The old adage, if you need help, you must first help yourself. An individual has to take ownership of their space. They have to stand on their own two feet and assume strength and not practice weakness. The truth be told, no one can help you until you first help yourself. From there, others can mentor you, teach you, coach you, but in truth, they will only be showing and revealing to you what was already in you. Most take the why me approach and don't want to take the risk to see what would happen in the process of self-discovery. If the journey is taken, it makes you much stronger and more powerful, but most desire an easier way out. Most require a guarantee. Essentially, you see, those who have a fear of failure and some have a fear of success and some have both. Either way, they don't take the journey of self-discovery. Going forward, embrace the journey, apply yourself, do the work and not be in fear so you can start to get great results and outcomes. With that experience, you grow. This is a process that we will go through as we live. It is unavoidable, and there are no guarantees. There is no easy way. Every shortcut you take will definitely create an obstacle for you somewhere down the road. There is no way around it. Lessons, testings, and blessings. This is the way it goes. Ask anyone who has succeeded on any scale, and they will reveal to you their lessons, tests, and blessings. Also ask them about anything they avoided in their experience of how they re-encountered it, the thing they avoided later down the road. 9 out of 10 still overcome the obstacle or challenge later, which they now will see help them. Do not look for handouts. Do not allow anyone to enable you, essentially stunting your growth. This is a permanent damage to your being. It will show up in every area of your life consistently. Please do not participate in disempowering yourself through handouts. Don't take part in any of that. The challenges you face are there to help you grow and develop yourself. It is there so you can start to think outside the box. Be creative, innovative. It can be done in many ways. Your job is to find a new way, a different way, and solve your puzzle. One of the ways I suggest is become a student of life and begin to study at first weekly. Anyone who is committed to success can carve out 1.5 hours each week to read at least 1 to 2 chapters of a book that will help their future. This investment of 1.5 hours out of your supply of 168 hours in a week is not asking too much. It is a small investment that will make you a totally different person in 13 months. If you just execute the simple task without fail during this time period. Next, change your circle of influence. Who are the 3 people you hang out with the most? Who you spend the most time with? I want you to do this exercise and take all 3 of your incomes and divide it by 3. And it will show you that your network is your net worth by average and what it will always be indefinitely. unless you choose to do something different. Push your comfort zone and participate in a totally new circle of influence. It is a requirement to raise your current income level, your resources, and your span of power and influence. Next, begin to challenge every single thought. If it is an unproductive or unfruitful thought, kick it out of your mind. Plant a more powerful and unproductive thought that will produce a better harvest. You are a farmer. Every day of your life, you're planting a harvesting something. Watch your conversation. Are you just talking unnecessarily without even thinking? Stop it. You have been wondering where the situations, conditions, circumstances in your life have been coming from? Well, look no further than yourself. You alone are the cause. Stop blaming others. It is all on you. Chapter 8, Self-Determination. Self-determination is taking the road less traveled, like getting my art out there. Even though there is no guarantee that it will make a mark, even though I believe it is a quality content, it is me writing 30 poems expressing myself, although it may not mean anything to anyone else. Self-determination is me not giving up on my goals and dreams or controlling my time, even though it has been more than 23 years that I have been preparing myself for the time when I can choose to do only what serves me through being of service to others. I want to save others time and error. I want to show them the way to demonstrate their goals and dreams in a shorter period of time. Self-determination is the strength to keep moving forward when the naysayers and others laugh at your pipe dream, call you names because they don't understand you and don't understand your vision, your purpose, and your mission, and who and what you are destined to be. Self-determination is setting your heart on winning despite the appearances of great failure. Self-determination is having the courage to still feed your dreams, even though you're currently experiencing nightmare after nightmare. Self-determination is when you continue to take action, when your own friends, family, significant other gives up on you. They throw in the towel. Something within you continues urging you on. The still small voice within says, go forth. Self-determination is about having grit and strong work ethic. It's persistence. It's impeccable work ethic. It's total commitment to do something and to do it right with high energy, integrity, and focus. When I think of the word determination, I think about a deep craving for success, like a magnificent obsession. You just can't get it off your mind. You fantasize about the outcome, the result. You're so hungry for it, you must have it. I call it being a finisher. You need to discover and add another gear, additional stamina, because you will be met with obstacles and challenges that can overwhelm or attempt to break you. When you are prepared, enjoy winning and celebrating victories, you visualize it. You're at your best. When you have to overcome colossal difficulty, it takes a certain mindset, a certain level of confidence to keep going. You feel like life is a game, or you believe it's impossible for you to lose. Self-determined people are self-starters, high energy, and they have a routine. They do things in a certain order, in a certain way, at a certain time each day. Peak performance is knowing where your energy spikes and when your energy levels are incredible and capitalize on it. The theme is always the same. You have to be hungry in order to take action to eat. And if and only if you run with people who are hungry, you will be in a position to make a choice to eat. It is an ongoing inner journey of development, further growth, and expansion. Each person must activate the strong desire from within them that pushes their own self forward versus remaining stuck and stagnant. Also, consequences, because we always have one of three life masterclasses moving in our direction. Lessons, testings, or blessings. Your job is to prepare and endure the life masterclasses, grasp the lessons being taught, go through the process, and grow spiritually, mentally, physically, relationally, and materially. Always be redefining your skills, using your gifts and building strength so that you are well prepared for whatever comes your way, pursuing and owning your personal inner journey. Chapter 9, Self-Discipline. Ask yourself the question, do I have the success, habits, and discipline to do what I know I should be doing at a certain time every day to get the results I proclaim that I require or desire? 9 months ago, I reduced my body mass by 44 pounds. My weight was out of control and has been off and on for quite a while. My doctor said, if you do not reach this weight in 6 months, I'm going to put you on a weight loss pill. Immediately, I said to myself, hell no. Now, the weight he wanted me at, I know it's not possible for me to be at that weight because I haven't been at that weight in probably 22 years. I simply wouldn't look right at that weight. It has been way too long. But the fear of potentially having to be on a weight loss pill moved me into media action. See how that works? When something becomes a must, you automatically respond. When you are desperate, you will personally find a way to make the thing you require happen through hell or high water. For me, I don't really believe in taking medicine, and I avoid medicine at all costs. I rarely ever get sick. I only missed grade school when I had the chicken pox, and again in the 10th grade. I missed 2 days. I don't believe in taking medicine. I know how stubborn I am. I will not take medicine. I began to attempt to come into alignment by eating somewhat healthier and drinking way more water. I participated in a lot of walking. I stopped eating by 7 p.m. and I could resume eating at 7 a.m. I'm not much of a breakfast person, but will eat breakfast if I feel weak or lethargic. Amazingly, the weight began coming off smoothly and sort of quickly. Now, I wasn't at the weight that he wanted me to be at, but was a tremendous reduction in body mass, and everything turned out well. I will tell you what it means for me personally. It means, do I have the focus, concentration, and clarity to establish a worthy idea persistently? Do I understand what will be the requirement and sacrifice that I will have to exchange in order to run through the goal? Can I hold on to the goal in the here and now? Do I fully comprehend the opportunity cost that is automatically paid if I stay in the exact same spot and choose stagnation over growth? Do I understand that everything is vibrating and moving, nothing stays quiet in the same exact place? You're either moving backwards or you are moving forwards, always. There is no such thing as not moving. At the end of the day, I choose growth and I choose moving forward. This is what it means to me. Essentially, it comes down to, do I have the mindset, follow up, and follow through to do what I know I should be doing at the time that I should be doing it every day? Positioning myself for the probability for success that I said I wanted to reach. Do you plan out your day the night before, scheduling your time, selecting the 3 to 7 key things you must accomplish the next day, despite what might come up or what may get in the way? Let's say you want to earn $150,000 a year right now. You might earn, say, $50,000. What would you tell yourself? Excuses, all the stuff why you cannot muster the courage to go for the goal. You would tell yourself stories like, my mom never earned 6 figures. My dad and uncles never earned 6 figures. I have not earned 6 figures, and none of my brothers or sisters have done it either. Then you fully talk yourself out of earning 6 figures and your own individual greatness and potential. You are now being committed to doing anything other than what could be revolutionary or different. You don't look for evidence whether you can or not. You simply make a decision to do it. Then you get started into action. You release your self-belief and self-determination and tell yourself it's bound to happen. You're going to make it happen step by step. You don't concern yourself with the what-ifs and naysayers. You are in the zone. You block out everything. You are at a very high level of focus, concentration, because you have a vision and you are listening deeply for instruction, moving on one calculated step at a time because you understand value, implicit participation in the process called risk versus reward, and you enjoy the thrill of winning over being stagnant or practicing stagnation. Start getting better at talking yourself into action rather than being so good at talking yourself out of any action. You just decide. It's time to decide. What is your choice? What is your decision? Chapter 10, Self-Esteem. I was teased a lot and ragged on a lot for how I dress because I was quiet and shy. I thought a lot, and some say daydreamed a lot. This affected me very negatively. I believe and think this actually fueled my competitive drive and desire to be number one in everything. I despise losing. I require winning in everything. I have to be number one. I don't see anything else. I push myself to the limit silently to be the best. This is how I felt relevant. I required annihilating the kids that teased me. I had a chip on my shoulder. I made sure that those same kids knew that I was a force to be reckoned with. I was destroying them in everything, in the classroom, PE, basketball, foursquare, teddy ball, tug of war, track and field. I punished them by convincingly beating them in everything. It was important for me as a child, but I didn't know it. You alone are responsible for your self-esteem. Finding a way to have healthy self-esteem, because personally, I had to build my self-esteem through competition, constantly trying to prove something to myself. Self-esteem is really about appreciating your own uniqueness, recognizing your own value and loving yourself, dealing with life as it is, not as you wish it to be, putting forward your best version of yourself, despite the physical or mental things you do not necessarily like about yourself. Self-esteem is a non-negotiable. It is a requirement for an individual to possess healthy self-esteem. If they have a strong desire to be successful in any of the five key areas of life, health, relationship, career, financial, and time, a person must love and like themselves. You have to love and like yourself regardless of any physical or mental trauma you may have experienced during your life. No matter what you've been through, you have to love and like yourself. It is a requirement. If you're going to go forward and achieve your personal goals and attempt to reach your full potential, renew your mind daily concerning everything up until this point. You have to go through a process of spiritual, mental, and physical cleaning. This process is total forgiveness of yourself, first of all, for your mistakes, knowingly or unknowingly. Forget all your failures and stories of failures. Excuses of why you fail, forget it. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. I had no support. Nobody taught me this or that. Release it by decreeing, this too shall pass. Next, you're ready to deal with the perpetrator. The person that you feel is holding you back through something they did to you or didn't do for you, mentally or physically. And this is critical. Forgive them and release them from this obligation by saying, I no longer find fault with you. I totally forgive you and release you to your highest good. Failure to not execute this will allow the individual or person to continue to control and sabotage your life. Truth be told, the person does not even remember what they did to you or didn't do for you, and only the victim or the person playing the victim role is the only one holding on to it. Therefore, it is controlling that person's thoughts, attitudes, moods, emotions, decisions, and progress for years, decades, well after the event or trauma. Please release it, forgive, and let it go so you can move forward into the future and towards your destiny. A person does not really have a choice. You have to love life, respect, and take care of yourself. Nothing outside of your own self even matters. When you understand your truth, you will see how you have allowed yourself to buy lies that kept your own self stuck with many blessings and gifts passing you by, and now you have to begin the pursuit of catching up. If you do not execute what I'm explaining to you, which will bring you out of your current state, you will continue to dwell in lower consciousness and at a lower bandwidth, frequency, vibration, and continue to attract the exact same or similar experiences into your life. No one can love you like you can. No one can like you like you can. No one can do self-respect for you. Only you can do it. These are the phases and steps you must go through to come out of a dark place of consistent failure and no growth. It's not anyone else's fault. You are the cause of your state of affairs. You alone created it. The great news is you can uncreate it and create something new and entirely better. And if and only if you take heed to what I'm stating and you apply the information consistently and constantly every day, make the declaration. I'm going to love, like, and accept myself just as I am, despite my flaws and mistakes. Tell yourself, my higher self is perfect. I'm operating out of that self now rather than my lower self. I have shifted right here, right now. And look how my life has changed for the better. Execute this for 90 days and you will not stop or ever look back. Understand, you must own your space, own your actions, be gentle with yourself. Beating yourself up does not help. You own your mistakes. Admit when you have a misstep. Make the necessary adjustments, forgive yourself, and move on. If you judge yourself and are critical towards yourself, others will be that way towards you, and it will damage your self-esteem and self-image, and you will sabotage your goals, even if you do accomplish them, because these things will all fly in immediately, destroying your harvest, feeling of undeservingness and unworthiness. This will eliminate all the progress and any good you have accomplished. My advice is to have 10 to 15 minutes at least once a day to reflect and cleanse. Practice forgiveness, because it is a requirement of success that you have a healthy self-esteem. The theme is and must remain love, like, accept, and respect yourself no matter what. You are in a position to allow, receive, and have, and experience success in each area of your life. This is the only way true success can come and be sustained. Chapter 11, self-preservation. Self-preservation is enduring over 23 years in sales and management, in a big box and small box setting for Fortune 500 companies holding your own. Self-preservation is having a long-range perspective, embracing your current opportunities, learning from them. At the same time, constantly expanding and redefining your skill set, learning, adapting, thriving, and flourishing in an individual and group setting. Self-preservation is exhibiting qualities and attributes of integrity, leadership, persistence, communication, and perseverance. For more than 25 years, standing the test of time, creating and representing a total body of work that all of your superiors, peers, and subordinates grow to respect. Now that is self-preservation. There is so much abundance in the visible plane, there is no need to take a receipt in the direction of not enough. There is plenty, plenty, plenty of all material things available in the one form or another. I'm coming from the vantage point of self-preservation. It's about getting at least 3 balanced meals on a regular basis, having the proper intake of water. Remember, your body is more than 75% water. This impacts the chemicals in your brain and body. The target is to get you to personally understand the many systems within your body. Begin getting the systems to work in harmony for you instead of against you, so that you can offer the universe your best version of yourself. In order to begin to grow and accomplish things on a bigger scale, you're going to have to be in a space of total peace with yourself, because you are the starting point and ending point of your life. You will have to move from disorganization to order. You will have to move from overwhelm to peace. This will essentially be the only way to start and continue moving towards your purpose, your personal truth, your targets, and your goals. Your objectives and flow productively in the natural states of harmony, resonance, and abundance. What I'm saying is, with everything that has been mentioned about self-preservation, it is all about doing everything in a certain order every day, doing everything in a certain way every day, doing everything at a certain right time every day. The information related to self-preservation is basic and fundamental. There is nothing presented that most people have not heard or does not already know. Please do not allow the information to go in one ear and out of the other, or allow it to just be in your head. You're going to have to convert this precious information into knowledge through drawing out the experience to apply the information, converting it into knowledge, then going beyond that, continuing to utilize the knowledge through consistent application, converting the knowledge into wisdom. Then, because of principle and law, everyone exposed begins to receive similar results, the exact same results, or even better results. Each person's total potentiality is limitless. Despite what you have heard, think, or believe, you have no limits except the ones you place on yourself, or you have limits you have allowed others to place on you. Self-preservation is taking care of yourself first. Be present, being conscious, being aware. You are in a position of control. Be intentional and deliberate about being positioned to achieve success. Whatever it is you choose to do, please understand the big picture. You are actually preparing for the long haul. You begin with the end in mind. At that point, your spirit, your processes and systems, your SMART goals you set out to accomplish are already a done deal. You are simply going through the process of belief awaiting actualization. This will assist you and totally change your trajectory, because the clarity and awareness of mind energy that will be available for the following decisions, adjustments, course correcting, are pushing you forward along the road. You have a new eagle's bird's eye view perception and win-win attitude. The victory is 98% guaranteed. Walk the victory all the way home. Chapter 12, Self-Improvement. I began studying ridiculously to increase the heat within myself for one reason, and one reason only, to come back stronger than ever against all odds and every naysayer. To put everyone on notice that it does not matter what you think about me. It does not matter how you feel about me. All that matters is my commitment to myself and the spiritual work I do day in and day out, the mental work I choose to do day in and day out, the physical work I choose to do day in and day out. And I came back with vengeance, like I had been shot out of a cannon to seize my college degree. I was on fire for achievement again. I did it when everybody had threw the towel in for me. If you ever fall, it is possible for you not only get back up again, you can rise to unparalleled heights again. That piece of paper was so precious to me because I knew the pain. I knew the grit and grind I went through to get it, and I proved at least 100 people wrong. I realized a certain way I always thought was the correct way of thinking, and I reconfirmed that no matter what happens to you, you still have to bring it. You cannot afford to cave in and quit. There is absolutely no place for weak thinking. Don't indulge in it. It will not profit you, except in your own demise. Treat it like the plague. Self-improvement is like getting a haircut, a facial, a makeover, or getting a manicure or pedicure done on your hands and feet. You feel different and for the better. It is almost like you're not the same person. You are a new person engaging in this process of self-improvement through discovery. It's about reflection, introspection, observation, and reestablishing your vision, mission statement, value system, core personal values. Then you begin this new process of acclimation through reframing and redefining what you call life and putting everything on a sound and solid foundation. When the storms come blowing, because they will come, you will be able to withstand the storms of life, thrive, flourish, and advance in this game of life through these phases of reflection, introspection, and observation. You must determine what it is precisely that you require from life and determine the price you're willing to pay for the thing you desire. Let me ask a question. What do you truly desire? Whatever it is, it will be a journey, not a quick fix. Enjoy the entire process of goal attainment. Thus, you will become far more than you even thought. Please remember, everything is about full of self-expression. The requirement will be that you begin to look your best, look the part. The requirement will be that you feel your best every day. You have to have the energy to enjoy the goal once attained, or it's pointless. The requirement will be that you take care of yourself, getting the proper rest. No one can do this for you. No one knows your body and state better than you. If you do not take care of yourself, it is essentially impossible for you to take care of someone else. The requirement will be that you keep your energy clear. The requirement will be that you vibrate at a higher frequency constantly and consistently. Remember, you can't solve a problem by participating in the same activities that created the issue in the first place. We all travel through vicissitudes, a change of circumstances or fortune, typically one that is unwelcome or unpleasant, or states called graces, places, and spaces. The requirement will be to begin to hang around people who are already possessing the results you claim you desire. To work towards, begin to ask questions, model, emulate what you see them do. Dress like them, talk like them, walk like them. Don't be ashamed of this. Fake it till you make it. You will come out all right. The skill set you require are being improved by modeling. You may have to take some classes. You may have to learn a new skill. You may have to hire a coach or find a mentor. Whatever it takes, by all means, do it now. You have to be willing and obedient to do whatever it takes to receive a higher quality of life. The greater the reward, doing within while, you temporarily do without. If you're going through a cycle of failure after failure, you do not currently know enough to get yourself out. So you need to seek help as you are in deep waters. Remember, there is no such thing as getting something for nothing. If you don't sacrifice, the end result is guaranteed to be the result called nothing. The entire universe operates off the principle called giving and receiving, sowing and reaping, or cause and effect. It is the same principle regardless of what you call it. The requirement is you will have to change the way you think. You will have to begin to think very differently and in a certain way. The requirement is you will have to begin to listen deeply to yourself and others. Hear what is really being stated, not what you think they are saying. You must actually hear what is really being said, not what you thought you heard. The requirement is you will have to learn to use expectation totally differently. The requirement is that you will have to begin to see reality in a new way. You will have to see health, mental health, joy, success, happiness, abundance, prosperity, and wealth, even when appearances speak the opposite. You will have to work in agreement with the law of polarity and the law of substitution. Then you write out with clarity each action that you will perform toward achieving your SMART goal, exactly what order you're going to perform the action step. The success ratio goes up by almost 90%. There will be certain telltale signs of success or failure. Pay attention and adjust as needed. If you stay on course, there will be small wins called milestones. With a series of these, you are guaranteed to obliterate your 30-day, 90-day, and 150-day goal, or any goal for that matter. If you are clear on what you desire, plan it out, take the action steps, you will accomplish and achieve it. It's not positive thinking, it's taking action, step by step, action that makes the process work exactly the same every time. Chapter 13, the final chapter, self-control. Let's take the last 10 years. I've missed 2 or maybe 3 days of work because personally I didn't feel well or whatever. Self-control is about telling your body how to feel and your mind what to think, telling your body what to do and what not to do, telling your mind what to think and what not to think. You cannot just start accepting what people are saying and unconsciously buying it. It's a recipe of disharmony. Don't just accept the next thing that's going around. Watch what you are speaking. I'm watching it closely. You were never meant to say anything you don't truly desire. Take heed what you are watching and hearing in your different environment. Many things are getting in you and are getting on you, and you're not cognizant of it. Be aware. It is all around us, everywhere. Thoughts are everywhere, and we are allowing it. We should be choosing the opposite polarity of what is being broadcasted personally, daily challenging everything. I do not allow stuff to just be dumped on me permanently. It might be in there for a few seconds or a few minutes or even an hour, but I'm going to challenge it, and I highly recommend that each person challenge everything. Challenge the thoughts, challenge the feelings, challenge the beliefs, challenge the expectations, challenge everything. Remember to tell yourself how to feel, what to do, what not to do, what to think, what not to think. That's true self-control. Self-control is about you understanding that your higher self is the master. You have to take total ownership of the unlimited being that you are, meaning you have to understand your power and authority. Take control of it, or it will dominate you. An individual has to express the power and authority given in the form of thought or by giving instruction. You have to communicate your body to your body how to feel and what to do and what not to do. An individual has to communicate to his subconscious mind and conscious mind what to think, what to expect, what to believe, and always keep an objective target image. If not, the subconscious mind will automatically pre-program itself to the environment. It will target any resources within the environment, span of influence, TV, radio, billboards, flyers, newspapers, etc. Any information is picked up like on a radar. Nothing is able to escape the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is responsible for all your vital functions and an estimated 96% of everything you do habitually, good, bad, or indifferent. The conscious mind is only responsible for the other estimated 4% and is minor in comparison to the subconscious mind. That is why you may see a child or adult do something that they know that they are not supposed to do. If you ask them why they did it, there is a 99.5% chance they will say, "I don't know why I did that." Even if it is something you may have challenged them on before and you explain to them that I talked to you in great detail about this before. I showed you the proper ways to do this specific thing. I explained to you, I communicated, and say, and you say, why on earth would you do that? The response will still be, I don't know. The reason is they are pre-programmed or conditioned to participate in the habit of doing that specific thing they continue to execute. The only way to get them to change their behavior is for them first to raise their level of awareness by bringing the habit up front and close to their mind by image and walk them through what they did step by step, detail by detail, until they get it. Once they see it clearly, it will still take a lot of effort on their part, constantly and consistently, to change the behavior. They have to desire to change the behavior and then put forth the required effort to eliminate the behavior. Self-control is doing the right thing in the right order at the right time. We all miss the mark from time to time. For the most part, we know exactly what we are supposed to be doing. We still do not do what we know to do because of not being aware, of not being present in conditioning. Self-control is knowing you require upgrading of your skills and talents, and the better positioning yourself for success in doing what you know how to do until you have an inspiration for the next step. Things are generally given to a person one step at a time. This is the way it happens because we're not prepared or don't have enough confidence to go beyond one small step at a time, especially when you're being pushed out of your comfort zone or your borders or boundaries are being pushed intensely. Self-control is being wise and investing your time in activities that are going to enhance you and move you closer to your goals through association, study, and talking, taking personal action. No one can do the work for you. You personally have to do your own believing, brainstorming, thinking, planning, expecting, speaking the vision into existence, keeping the image constantly and consistently on your mind, and taking action daily to bring it into your reality right here, right now. Self-control is challenging yourself and being aware of what you believe. Watch what you're saying and watch what and who you are agreeing with throughout the day, because these things, not guarded and challenged, can create blockage and hindrances in your progress. Self-control is about not overdoing anything, know when to break away. We require balance in order to assess everything from the proper perspective. This sounds simple, but it's also worth its weight in gold. Self-control is about always being alert so you can process data and make solid, informed decisions. Don't make a permanent decision based on a temporary disposition. Things can change expeditiously. Self-control is about being well-rested, always being prepared for opportunities. You are to dress for where you want to go, not for where you are currently at. Every moment is a moment of your truth. You are always creating a reality and a legacy or lack thereof. Be mindful, be present, be aware. Experience a shift in consciousness. Vibrate at a higher frequency. Connect with your best version within your subjective mind. Become your own observer and learn how to instinctively shift. Once you have the ability and skill to execute these intangibles, it will alter your life instantly. And amazingly, you cannot remain the same. You will have actualized self-transformation.